Welcome back to The Raptor Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm your host, Wim Liu. I had the great pleasure to talk to Marc Gasol last Friday, and we've been teasing the interview all weekend. Here it is. Joining us on The Raptor Show is Marc Gasol. This is such a great pleasure, Marc, because obviously you are a member of the 2019 championship team, and we will talk about that in a bit, but right now the focus is on Memphis. Your jersey is going to be retired. Take me through your emotions. I know Memphis is such an important place to you. You grew up there. You went overseas. You came back there. You brought a lot of winning and pride to the franchise. How does it feel that your number 33 is going up into the rafters?
I feel like a lot of different people are going to go up with that number. And because so many people were a part of my journey and helped me along the way. Pau obviously played in Memphis before me. My parents lived here for so long, and we came here 2001. So a little part of everybody goes up with that number. And so many coworkers, so many friends that we made, you know, are so excited. So I am. So am I too. So, you know, it's a unique journey that I had here. So just thrilled about it. Can't wait.
Yeah, well, it's well-deserved. I mean, you're the career leader in Memphis in minutes, in field goals, in rebounds, in blocks. I think Mike Conley got you in points and assists, but I think you may be number two, or you're quite up there as well. Talk to me about when you first went to Memphis, what you remember about the culture shock of growing up there, because obviously your brother Powell had been in with the Grizzlies before that. What was your first impression of growing up in Memphis and adapting to the culture?
I can tell you that we were not familiar with the culture at all, and what a shock we had as a family. We all came together. My little brother was 7 at the time. Pau was, you know, I think 21. I was 16. So my parents just left everything behind in Spain and decided that it was a good idea to move here. So we, you know, could give Pau a good support system through his first years of his NBA career. And basketball helped me along the way. Basketball was such an important tool for me to interact, to adapt to a different city. And my teammates from high school helped me along the way, showed me the ropes of how the city worked. So I'm forever thankful for them, for how they treated me and how much patience they had during those years. And yeah, it was definitely different than Barcelona.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, but I think you made yourself at home. You know, you're, I don't know what the name is for people who are from Memphis, but you are Memphis through and through.
Memphis, it's called Memphis.
Yeah.
So much happened during those years. And the love and the respect that Memphis showed to me and my family, we will forever be in debt with them, because it's not easy to take in a family that you know doesn't know much, that is fairly first taking their first steps in a city like this, and the franchise helped us also. So it's just a full circle. We are very thankful and excited for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a really good celebration of the whole era, right? I know there's other that have already been honored like this, but the grit and grind Grizzlies, it's something that everyone remembers. Even though you guys didn't reach your ultimate goal of winning the championship together, which I'm sure you guys would have loved to do, but everyone remembers for you guys how hard you guys played defensively. You, Zebo, Mike Conley, Tony Allen, other guys that have come through in that stretch as well. How did you guys get to that point where you found that identity? Like, we're going to win with defense and we're going to just like grind teams down with defense.
I think it started with the coaching staff. Lionel, led by Lionel Hollins and his coaching staff, they had a very clear view of how we wanted to play and how we were going to be able to win games. And then, you know, it came to our responsibility of doing what we're supposed to do and making each other better. We bonded right away in the first training camp that we had together, and it just went on from that. And then we're just adding pieces, trying to complement each other, which wasn't easy because our game was a little bit different. But, you know, it was awesome. It was awesome beyond wins and losses, because how much it meant to the city and how much of an impact we all had. And I think, in a way, all our differences between each other mimic a little bit, you know, with the city also, how different it could be at times and how we all came together for a common goal. So it was just really good timing. We started to win, and the city, you know, rallied behind us. And you see now, you know, what the franchise has turned out to be, how, you know, the culture now it's so steady and it's growing and it's getting better each season. And hopefully, you know, they can get it together and be healthy and be a great team.
Is there a year that you look back and you're like, this was our best year? Like, we were the strongest, we had our best chance. What year was that for you guys?
I can't tell you what the best year was because things happen every year. But I think the turning point of everything was our first win in the playoffs against San Antonio when we were the eighth seed and we, you know, knocked them off. I think that was a moment that created a lot of belief in our city and in our franchise. From that point on, back then, if you could beat the Spurs four games, you could beat anybody. So that's what we believed in, and that's how we approached every single game. We could never get over the hump. They made us pay back later on in a conference finals. They swept us. But that's just how basketball and life goes sometimes.
Yeah, the Western Conference at that time was just so tough. That's the thing, too. I mean, it was not easy for anybody to get wins over anybody. So I remember this because when the Raptors were making their run and you guys were making the run here in Toronto, there would always be reporters on the road from Memphis wanting to catch up, you know, and it felt like even though you guys couldn't get over the top together in Memphis, so many people were still rooting for you once you came to Toronto. I'm curious on your side, when did you know that Toronto was going to be a potential outcome for you in terms of where you would go? And also, more importantly, like, when did it become known to you that it might not be your whole career in Memphis and that you might have to move on?
Starting from the end of your question, on that year, beginning of the year, you know, we thankfully, you know, Memphis was always very honest with me and Mike. So once they started to go in a different direction, they told us, they let us know that, you know, by All-Star break, you know, we're looking to trade you, you guys. And you know, they were very honest, and I'm very appreciative of that. And then Toronto was an option, was not always on the table. I think it went back and forth. And then at the last few hours of the trade deadline, became a reality because at that point, you know, there was a chance that I wasn't going to be traded deadline. I was going to be traded during the draft night. But the last few hours, I think Masai obviously stepped up to the table and they come to an agreement. And the rest is history.
The rest was very, very good history for everybody involved, yeah. I think. I think the other team at that time, if I don't remember correctly, was Charlotte. They might have also been interested.
Something happened with Charlotte at the end that it was not on the table. At least that's what was transmitted to me. So they told me, hey, Mark, you get your head around that you might stay in Memphis the rest of the year. So I'm great. Like, I never wanted to leave in the first place anyways. So, but, you know, thankfully things happened in Toronto and Masai changed his mind, or I don't know what exactly went down. But, you know, even though part of me was sad that it was over in Memphis, you know, I was ready for the challenge in Toronto and understood the opportunity that we had in that group, and we went for it.
Yeah, well, I'm curious because your transition to Toronto at that moment, I remember being in New York City. You guys were playing the Knicks. That's when you made your debut. You were coming off the bench, and I don't even know if you had practice with the team, if you knew anybody on the team. I'm sure you knew Sergio Scariolo, the Raptors assistant coach, right? Obviously, he coached you with Team Spain. But besides that, I don't know how much you even knew, but instantly you got everybody involved. You and Norman Powell had an instant chemistry right away. And we just knew right away that, you know what, the Raptors were already really good that season. But once we added you, there was a chance that we could win the championship. Is that the feeling that you got when you talk about, you see the opportunity?
Yeah. Obviously, when you look at that roster, and I didn't know how good Norm was going to be. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how good Freddie was going to be and important to the team success. But you look at Kyle, you look at Kawhi, you look at Danny Green, Pascal, you know, Serge Ibaka, and then you see Freddie and Norm, and you're like, and led by Nick Nurse and his staff, I'm like, hey, we have, you know, a really good team. OG wasn't healthy really, and like he was in and out a couple times, but you know, it's such a great combination of veterans, with young players, with a player like Kawhi, it's just, you know, you have an opportunity. You got to go and go for it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because for a while it was like, wasn't clear if it was going to be you starting or Serge Ibaka starting. How did you guys work that out? Because I know Serge is a very proud guy as well. I'm sure he wanted to start too, but, you know.
I think we make the most out of it. Yeah. I think Nick, made the decision of who plays better with who and what we need at times. Sometimes Serge finishes the game. Sometimes I finish the games. It's, at the end of the day, it's what's best for the team and the ultimate goal of winning. So that's all that really matters.
Yeah. Well, that team was so good, but I think game one of the playoffs was so funny against Orlando. I think everyone knew that, you know, the Raptors had a great chance of beating Orlando. I mean, just even the teams on paper. But then game one comes around, and there's that three by DJ Augustine. And it's so funny because it's you and Kawhi involved in that pick and roll. And you guys have both won Defensive Player of the Year. And somehow you guys miscommunicated. DJ Augustine got open for three. What was the reaction like in the locker room that day and even the practice afterwards of getting you guys focused after losing that first game?
Win or losses, like, you have to like refocus and cannot, you know, change too much the way you view the games. Was a mistake. You learn from it, you move on. Then, you know, I think from that point on, there was no more miscommunications. And we were not that long together. And you have to go sometimes through moments like that to come closer. But, you know, it happened. It's basketball. You take ownership, accountability. Mm-hmm. That's what it went in the locker room. Hey, you know, I thought you were going to go over the screen. It wasn't, you know, good screen. He went a little bit under and got stuck. I see a gap that he could went over. We didn't play that many games together, or at least games that were super close together. So I thought it was good that things like that happened that way. The rest of the way, you have more of an understanding of what is expected in certain situations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was a weird game. Kyle Lowry scored 0 points. It was just a lot of strangeness that went in. But obviously, you guys went on to win the next four against Orlando. Then you guys play Philadelphia. Game one, you guys looked great. It looked like you guys were going to just keep cruising. But Philly turned out to be like the toughest opponent in that entire championship run. I don't know if you agree with that, but they did take you to seven games.
Yeah, you look at that roster and the size they had in every position. It was not easy to play and the way we wanted to play. It's every series is different and every matchup changes. So I think Philly, you know, what they brought to the table against our strengths, it wasn't easy, but you don't expect anything easy in the playoff anyway. So it was great. I thought that we did a good job adjusting. Nick pushed the buttons that he needed to push for us to be better. And we grew with the series too, because again, we were not together for long. At least I wasn't there for long. Mm-hmm. So we needed to learn and trust each other in certain situations that we didn't always know that we were going to be in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of those big adjustments was going back to earlier, you and Serge playing together, because that's how big the Sixers were. You guys needed to match that size. But I also think one of the big points of that, everyone remembers the Kawhi shot, and I'll ask you about that in a second, but your defense against Joel Embiid, I think for Raptor fans, like anyone who sees you should say thank you to how you guarded Joel in that series. I mean, Joel Embiid is obviously a phenomenal player, MVP right now, but you held him to 17 points per game in that series on 37% shooting. And you always guarded Joel really well, because the next year you actually held him to zero. And of course, you're going to say it's a team effort, but most importantly, I think it's the person in front of him being able to match up. What were some of the keys that made it successful for you to play against Joel at that time?
Well, they allowed me to be physical with him and not get to his spots easily, and I was, you know, really willing to battle him for every inch on the court, and that's what we did. Every make every possession really hard, study his game as much as possible, kind of go at him. Also, when I get a chance offensively and make him work and don't let him just stand there, and clock the paint like he normally would want to. So that's why my three-point shooting would help at times with spacing wise, and that was it. Just trying to stay very consistent mentally. I think the couple times that he had in the flow, you know, he could go in a tear and score like 15 points in a row. So you didn't want to make anything comfortable for Joel at any point.
Yeah, well, trust me, we still talk about it here in Toronto. Like, nobody has guarded Joel that well, because the Raptors played the Sixers later on, a couple years later after you had left, and he gave the Raptors a lot of problems, and we were all saying, can we sign Marc Gasol to come back for this series? No, but, after that Kawhi shot happened, and I'm sure, I don't know what your perspective was. I think you were the inbounder on that play in Game 7, right? You inbounded to Kawhi, then Kawhi dribbled the whole length of the court, went to the other side, shot the ball. I mean, it was a brick, really, but somehow that was...
Just like we drew it up.
Yeah.
He was determined to take that shot.
Yeah.
It was going to be right. It was going to be going, he just trying to find the launching spot, and it happened to be really far away from where he started. He made it. We were ready to go to overtime.
Right.
If needed be, obviously. But he was determined to take in that shot, and he knew what type of shot he wanted to take, and we got a couple lucky bounces.
I think the reaction of everyone saw Kawhi's reaction going into the crowd. I think your reaction, you like did a prayer. You gave yourself a little cross. You're like, God spawned us today.
Hey, sometimes it's sports, and the little difference. The little things make a huge difference, and we had, like I said, a couple lucky bounces on the rim that I don't think I've ever seen like that, and I played a lot of ball. I'll definitely take it. But, the difference was like that. It was that small, the difference in those two teams, and it could have went either way. We were just on the lucky side this time.
Mm-hmm. And I thought the other thing, too, what was really sweet was, obviously, this was a difficult moment for Joel Embiid, right? Losing in that fashion, you can understand how painful it is. You went over there and you consoled him. Embiid was in tears. You went over there and you hugged him. I don't know what you said to him in that moment, but what do you remember about that specifically?
It's just the respect. You go seven games against somebody, you're not going to be, in love with the person that you're going against. And you match the subs and you're trying to do what's best for your team to win. But nothing but respect. And I told him that his time was coming. Obviously, he became an MVP a few years later. But this just didn't happen to be his time, at least not yet. So I told him the same thing back in, I think, New Orleans when I saw him. First time, he thought he should have made the All-Star. I told him the same thing. Don't worry, your time is coming. Now he's a perennial All-Star. So, as players, we don't have often patience or perspective of how life is. But you could tell that, and you can tell, obviously, that he's, a very special player.
Yeah, well, I mean, the remainder of the playoffs, I mean, I know the next series for Giannis, after you guys were able to go down 0-2, I just remembered, to be honest, I thought you could have played better in the first two games. And I think probably for the rest of the team as well, you guys were down 0-2. And, of course, you guys did play better. You guys won the next four straight. Was there something for you in that series when you were down 0-2 against Milwaukee, it clicked for you, like, I could take this game to another level and we can do better as a team, for yourself personally especially?
Yeah, like I said, like every series you were learning more and more things about, how to help the team and how the team could help you. And so it was a lot of things that you learn on the fly. And yeah, the first game I thought it was hard because we thought that we had it, and at the end we kind of collapsed at the end of the game. But it's how you approach the next one. Mm-hmm. The next one wasn't good for us, and you have to take accountability and be honest with yourself. You cannot try to blame somebody else when your game doesn't go your way. We went back to Toronto, and it wasn't an easy game three. We didn't cruise. It was hard. Was mentally, a hard game to play, because you lose that game, it's going to be a wrap. But again, we stayed in the moment. Mm-hmm. We kept making plays. We keep making play after play. And I think somebody fouled out, right, on game three.
I think Kyle might have fouled out, because Fred put a lot of in.
We were lucky and played a good game and made a couple shots. And then we got a confidence back. And then you win game four and you're back to 2-2.
Yeah.
So, it's just the game goes. You got to stay in the moment. You can get, too high or too low. You got to stay in it and keep learning and being honest with, yourself and the team. But we spend so little time together that, it's the time that you have to learn.
Yeah.
It happens to be during the playoffs.
Yeah, I that's what I'm taking away from this, is just how everything had to come together on the fly. It's not like in Memphis where you guys are able to develop the identity, grow, you know, like, you know, take your time and, like, really adapt, even adapt your games towards each other. This is like you joined the team midseason, Kawhi joined the team at the start of the season with Danny. The Raptors already had an existing group of guys, and all of it having to click at once, even yep. playoff series by playoff series, you guys got stronger. And that's how it looked. I mean, the game six, I mean, the 26-3 comeback, in the you know, I think third quarter, fourth quarter, that stretch, and that was just so beautiful to see. And of course, you guys finally make it to the finals. At that point, against the Warriors, KD, it wasn't sure if he was going to play or not. What was your confidence level as a team looking at the Warriors, who had at that point been what they've won it three times by that point? Kevin Durant was mm-hmm. probably going to come back. What was the confidence like in the Toronto locker room going into the finals?
Obviously, every series is different, and you have to just stay in the challenge that you have in front of you. You know, Steph, you have to try to minimize his impact in the game, but he, you know, he impacts the game no matter what he does. If he's on the ball, off the ball, if he's dribbling, whatever he does, he's impacting the game. Even his misses impact the game. So you have to, you know, control him. Clay was shooting the lights out, and he was, you know, very dangerous. You cannot yeah. give him any space. Just their pace was hard to guard with and without the ball. So you have to be able to go back at them and keep up with that scoring at some point. So, you know, we kind of have to see what kind of strength we could use against them. And I thought we did a good job of coming to game one and establishing ourselves. And we're able to win game one that, you know, happened to be, you know, our first game in the finals. They obviously they have been there way more times than us, but we were ready. And that's a testament to everybody on the team. And from that, it was just, you know, you win one, you lose one, you win one, you lose one. And fortunately, we won game six on the road. We were a good team on the road.
I think, yeah, you guys won all the games in Golden State that year. That was the big key. And I think, to your point, the team got stronger. Pascal had his moments. Fred obviously had his moments. Kyle had his moments. You had your moments. Serge had his moments. And it wasn't just like in the Sixers series where Kawhi did all the scoring and, you know, it was more difficult. It was the whole team showing up at once, and it was the beautiful finale to that season. I think one of the things the Raptor fans always love, too, is you at the parade. I don't know. This is a legend at this point, you at the parade. But just walk us through, because the parade was not supposed to be 4 hours. That's what people don't understand.
No. It was not supposed to be 4 hours. But, you know, the amount of energy and people that were out there, and you wanted to thank for their support, because once we won the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, everybody was very excited, and obviously it was something already important, but we wanted to stay in the moment. So to be locked in for that long, it just happened all at once, and you know, I try to cheer and have a beer with the 3.5 million people. It just it was fun. I had a great time. You know, I'm ready for another one.
Yeah, honestly, it was when did you decide, take me through your decision making when you decided to drink the whole bottle of wine, and how close were you to falling off that bus? Because I feel like Eric Moreland like saved your life.
No. I was not even halfway there.
Oh, okay. All right. Damn.
No. It just happened to be so long. And I wish we could have a camera up there so you could see the interactions that we have with people and their faces and how excited people were from our point of view. And you know, just wanted to give everyone their moment. And they gave me the bottle. And they're like, yo, and I don't know how many people down there. I'm like, oh, it happened.
Yeah. All right. Two more questions because we're running out of time. I realized that you never gave a speech. When everyone else gave a speech at the end, I don't think you got a speech. Were you too drunk for the speech? Is my question.
Yeah, they told me that Danny Green sabotaged that idea. I don't know why. I can't really understand why I was fine.
Yeah. I hope you were fine, but. You know, that was the coolest thing was later on that same summer, you go back to represent Spain. You always play for Spain whenever you're available. And you guys go to Eurobasket. That year, I mean, look, Spain is always a favorite, especially in Europe. But that year, the expectations weren't as high. And you guys ultimately were able to come through, win the championship. You got two parades that year. So walk me through the second parade.
Yeah, well, that was a World Cup.
Sorry. Yes.
So, and also with Sergio, which is like, I just spent what, the last maybe 12 weeks with Sergio pretty much on a submarine, just locked in the rabbit hole and just grinding it out and thinking about, you know, how would you get better. So the parade, the second one, I was just tired. Like, I didn't, you know, wasn't, obviously people were excited because they saw the parade in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be the same. You know, I think we had great times and it was emotional. But after the World Cup in China, yeah, I was right. really, like, my body, like, you know, I felt it. I felt that one because it just so locked in for so long. It wasn't easy, you know, mentally and physically to withstand. But, you know, we had a great time. We celebrated with, you know, our countrymen. Everybody came out. Pau came out, flew out, you know, from Barcelona. He came to Madrid to celebrate with us. But I was toasted.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, you're beloved in Spain. You're beloved in Memphis. And your jersey's going up in Memphis. Congratulations on that. I don't know if your jersey will go up in Toronto, but at the same time, we would love to have you anytime. You're going to get an incredible ovation every time you come back to Toronto. I think people are going to ask you to chug wine every time you come back to, you know. But still, you are beloved everywhere. Marc Gasol, thank you so much for joining us. And congratulations once again on everything you've done in your career.
Thank you so much, guys. I hope to see you soon.